Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, this is just a note to say that this podcast episode contains spoilers for some Oscar film nominations from this year, some occasional adult themes, but most definitely copious amounts of chaos. Thank you so much for listening.
And we're live.
Do I make you nervous, Corky?
I'm a homosexual!
Lesbian.
I'm a homosexual.
I have loved you the way they said!
You fancy gear?
I'm having a proper full-on gay crisis.
Hello and welcome to Gay Actually. Thanks for being here. It's gonna be a fun old gay time.
Pitch Perfect is a lesbian musical film.
Of course.
I want to carry off badass lesbian chic like Kate Blanchett can.
Welcome. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Gay Actually podcast. We are a series as part of the UK Film Review. UK Film Review podcast where we discuss all things LGBTQ plus cinema. We also discuss TV, but that's on another channel. My name is Amber, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Joyce.
Hi.
And we also, I'm so excited to say that we have some special guests today. We have the lovely Phantom Zone podcast joining us today. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We have friends. Friends
is a strong word. But that's fine.
Wow.
Well, we just started.
Yeah,
we're wow. 1 minute in.
Shit is thrown already.
We need to set the tone.
I'm gonna
hype up Oppenheimer so much. Oh. Just because you said that.
Shots fired.
We're already typing. In it. Obviously, Ian, hello. Welcome back. You have featured on our podcast before.
Yes, I have. Yes. And you've welcomed me back. Which...
Oh, here you are.
Don't know if that was
shame,
smart.
Shame.
You have reluctantly returned to this.
The
podcast.
Options for guests must have been slim, so I am back. But I've brought two others with me, Chris
yes,
and Toby. I've brought
two
them with
others.
Me.
Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Chris with on the Phantom Zone with Ian and Toby, who's also here.
Yes, would you say our oh yeah, sorry. I was just gonna say you just were like
let Toby up, introduce Toby. Himself.
Well I was gonna say don't
I
you
am
think
Toby,
you're...
the third member of the boy brigade third, featuring Simone
who can't make I thought you were gonna say you're our host. I thought you would have said you were our host.
That just shows my level of self esteem. Yeah.
So Chris is the host and
yeah.
You guys are just kind of
The chaos.
Yeah, chaos.
That's fair. That's an accurate assessment of what I thought the dynamic was. So yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
It works.
Sorry, Toby, to cut you. You go again. So introduce again.
I am still Toby. Evermore.
Welcome.
God, we're seamless even on this podcast. Wherever we go.
And
constant high-level quality.
And you also have Simone to complete your quartet, but she cannot make
Simone
it today. Although we may see her later once you start talking about Christopher Nolan. So
who knows? She might come
manifest.
In and an actual fight might ensue. Over
Again.
Oh, well, we're very happy to have you. This episode is going to be a special episode, but... Joyce, what are we going to be talking about today?
Today we're just going to talk about the Oscars.
Oh, little roundup, little opinion sharing roundtables.
Some hatred, some love, maybe. We'll see.
Definitely. It's going to be good. I mean,
did anyone here watch the Oscars live or afterwards? The full ceremony, the full show.
I watched bits.
I watched highlights. After,
some of the clips. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
So there was a phase in my life.
That's what I watched.
That was. I mean, you had to.
That's all I watched, and it was great.
There was a phase in my life where I used to stay up and watch the entire show.
I don't know why.
I stopped doing that when The Favourite did not win Best Cinematography, because that was the moment for me I was like, the Oscars are bull. I don't remember, actually.
What did win
cinematography? I don't remember what won. I was so upset. I didn't even want to. I'd turned off the show, like, stopped
film
watching.
We all widely consider is like the best cinematography ever, and you're like, oh, whoopsie.
Screw it. It wasn't The Favourite.
Yeah. You're like, no, it must be The Favourite.
The Favourite was
what
the
was
year
that year?
A Green Book one.
Already, that's
the same
not
year.
A good
it's
start.
The same year.
That's not a good start. That's not a good start.
It's also the same year Rami Malek won Best Actor, so it was a double whammy of disappointment.
Shots fired.
Okay, maybe you've got a point. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I feel like that's very fair. I mean, if Green Book won cinematography as well, I think we can all agree that. But he taught him how to eat fried chicken.
What year
so
was it? 2018? Was it 2018?
2018, yeah, that was the one.
Damn.
Okay, I'm going to find out right now who won Best Cinematography that year.
But you can talk
in the meantime.
I agree. I think I've stayed up a few times for the Oscars in the past before, you know, it's like the Super Bowl, you know, you're just like, but at some point you're like, why am I doing this? But I'm committed now. But yeah, I've given up. I just watched the abridged version the next day and get
That's
all the highlights.
The
like, I'm just Ken, which, you know, is the part I want to see. So
all I wanted.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
It was 2019 and Roma won Best Cinematography.
I mean, that now.
Remember that one?
Now.
That is amazing. Yeah.
I did love Roma.
Roma was good.
It's not bad, but it's not The Favourite.
No.
Would you say The Favourite was your favourite then, Joyce?
It was my favourite.
I've never stayed up for the Oscars.
No, me
and
neither.
I've never stayed up for the Super Bowl either. And I don't really see the point of doing
that. That's because you're a good boy, Ian, and you like your sleepy time.
I do. I get all tucked up in bed by 9:30 with
my bottle and my hot chocky.
Listen, full-time job. Full-time job.
And I... Yeah, no, it's not even that. I sleep. I just want my sleep.
I respect it. Health is wealth, you know?
As Toby will know, I was totally incompetent as an employee.
Ah, not totally.
Wow. Toby was my manager in a previous life.
No way.
Yeah, that's how we bonded over our
trauma.
Over him being like, trauma, yeah.
Wasn't that bad of a boss, jeez.
No. You were great. No, we enjoyed working together. We really enjoyed working together. It was fun. It was where we worked, which was...
Very little work done on certain days. It's just like, oh, you know what would be a great, like, rewrite of this story? And then we'd spend the next 2 hours just saying, like...
Yeah.
We'll rewrite Amazing. The entire Star Wars saga, you know, from beginning to end and just... You know, we'll do it better. We're clearly professionals who know what we're doing.
Toby will know when we first made friends or bonded, our friendship like blossomed, was when he was doodling on his like book for work and he drew a little Warhammer Space Marine figure. And I was like, is that a Space Marine? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, did we just become best friends?
And then I started him on a slippery slope of a relapse for Warhammer that Simone, I don't think, has ever quite forgiven me for.
No, she really has not. No. There is a whole cupboard in our house that's dominated by it. And she's just like, always opens it and looks just like.
What's crazy is like, this was just a doodle. I barely did anything. He just went, I'm completely relapsing. If I'm going in this, I'm going in with all
I needed an everything. Excuse. Yeah. Anyway. But less about our friendship.
No, I love it. I love it. It's providing good background.
Yeah. It's lore for the Phantom Zone podcast.
Yeah. Love it. Right. Okay. Obviously, you guys mentioned that, you know, some of you have watched the highlights, some of you, obviously, we've all looked up who won, all of that jazz. Do you have any moments or highlights from the ceremony itself that you want to shout out? Obviously, before we started recording, we talked about John Cena appearing nude on stage.
I wouldn't call that a highlight.
That was just weird.
I said moments. Highlights or moments. Let's be clear. That was not a highlight.
I don't want to be mean to him because he's quite a good actor, but it just made me think like what an oddly shaped man he was.
He does look like a Ken.
He does. He did.
He was Mermaid Barbie.
True. He was Mermaid Ken. He was Mermaid Ken. Yeah, no, he was Mermaid Ken. Dua Lipa was Mermaid Barbie.
Oh, that's I see. Right. And yeah. I think, Ian, you said in our Barbie episode that he was like, I want to be in the movie. And Greta Gerwig was like, you've got no roles. Would you like us to invent this mermaid role? And he was like, okay.
Yeah. He just was like, yeah, that's good. Yeah. But I was weird, right? Everybody else was weirded out by him running on stage nude, right?
Oh, yeah. Uncomfy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like John Cena. He seems like he's very much up for a laugh, which I love about him. And, you know, he's good fun, but it was weird even for the Oscars. You know, I've seen some crazy stuff over the years in the Oscars, and that was one of the weirder ones.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no Will Smith smacking.
We were all thinking it. I was just waiting for someone to say it.
My biggest disappointment is nobody got up. I wanted that so bad. I wanted somebody
just what would have happened if he dropped the envelope?
Yeah.
I think they had to go on lockdown this year, didn't they? They were like, no incidents at all.
Oh, yeah.
Just somebody get wrecked. I really wanted that again.
Because if you know, like, if you do hit someone, you just win Best Actor and 40 minutes later. So, you know, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Killian Murphy runs up and just bam! Yeah.
Thank you very much.
This is what we do.
Smacks John Cena, gets his Oscar. He's like, yes!
Do we have any other highlights? I'm just Ken, maybe.
That's got to be the highlight, surely.
Yeah. It's got to be the best moment. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, just vibes. Yeah. Just loved it. Loved it. He got it down.
I love how Ryan Gosling has committed to this bit hard. Mm-hmm. Even from before the film came out, he's just so committed to it.
Yeah, he totally went for it. And I love the bit where he starts and Margot Robbie just can't control herself laughing. Yeah. And Bailey Eilish behind him as well. It's just like, oh my God. Yeah. And then the little bit where he grabs the cameraman's hand and takes him off stage. Yeah. I was just like, oh, Ryan, you are the best person.
A man.
For sure.
I wish I was that cameraman. Just
Well, people wanted to go out camping with him, so
true.
Well, they got all the other Kens as well, like Simu Lee and things like that, which was quite cool back on there.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
The actual Kens,
yeah.
I thought it was good.
That was really good.
I think as well, like there was a meme where he won, I think it was the Golden Globe for best song, I think, maybe. And he was sat looking like really puzzled.
Yeah.
And people were like, it's because he was gonna have to perform at the Oscars. And he was like, oh God, I'm gonna have to do it now.
Sublime.
Sublime.
And it was sublime.
So good.
Should I know we're not into winners yet, but I think that should have won best song.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What?
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
It definitely should have. What? You think Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For was that?
I have to stand.
It's a beautiful song, but Jesus Christ. Like, God, talk about pull on sorry, I was about swearing. Pull on the heartstrings. At least with Ken, I was not having a good time.
I was going to swear. I'm going to commit to it anyway.
It's such a Barbie versus Ken moment we're having right here.
Honestly,
actually.
I have to say, Billie Eilish, youngest.
It's never enough for you guys. Come on.
Help. Billie Eilish, youngest two-time Oscar winner at 22. And she's queer, so we have to shout
out
to queer moment.
No Time to Die, yeah.
No Time to Die.
Oh, really?
God. It was just No Time to Die.
I really just didn't find any time to die.
Who has the time to die these days?
Yeah, not
what
I.
What was it made for, you know?
Hey, there we go.
She's an incredibly talented musician, but I think
she's great.
If nothing but just for the memes, I'm just Ken.
Come on.
It's so good.
I'm just Ken. It's
Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. It's so good. It's
more.
So good. I need to be at a karaoke bar to continue this.
and the lyrics.
And he's out
here. Let's message editor Chris. And be like,
get me at a karaoke bar.
We all be up in person and also do karaoke.
I'll dye the hair blonde. I'll do it for the Ken.
I'm triggered by the hair comments, but it's all right.
So yeah,
but no,
I'm just Ken.
Highlight, definitely
great.
Highlight.
So good. Awkward moments. Did we have any moments where we were like, yes? Jimmy Kimmel's entire speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated it. What was going on this year? Who wrote the jokes?
Walk me through it.
No, just from the very beginning. It was so awkward. It was so uncomfortable. None of the jokes were landing, personally, in my opinion.
It almost seemed like he was briefed before. Like, you're not allowed to offend anybody, but you have to kind of be funny. So it was like, I'm going to take it to a certain degree where it might be conceived as insulting, but I'm going to take it back before anyone actually gets insulted. You know, God forbid I get slapped in the face.
Exactly.
I love that Jimmy.
He was on tenterhooks.
Yeah.
I love Jimmy Kimmel is like being told in Toby's narrative, just the wording he used was, be funny. You've got to be funny.
Just make sure you're funny.
He's like, well, I can do this, right? Right?
Hasn't he hosted before? It's not his first time,
yeah.
Is it?
His wife runs part of the whole show, so you know he's got an in there.
And Nepo baby.
And you know, they want a safe pair of hands after what happened with Chris Rock, you know? So they just want someone who's
a guaranteed beige contender.
Yeah. But, you know, even Robert Downey Jr. thought the jokes were bad. He just was like, come on.
That was the worst part.
Give me my Oscar and let me...
So people in the comments were saying that, oh, Robert Downey Jr. is taking it well, not like Will Smith last year. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? The jokes are so horrible. You can't even react to it, really.
And it's also, yeah. It's not anything no one doesn't know about Robert Downey Jr. already, you know? It's like, jokes have been made, they're not... They were funny 10 years ago, they're not that funny now. But yeah, his whole speeches this award season has been about how he's glad to be making films that mean something now, and films that are worth his time.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I was like, where were you in 2008? You were nowhere at this point. And now you're like, screw Marvel. It was like, Jesus, you know,
get in the bin, mate.
Remember where you came from,
house,
man.
Made from Iron Man money, but no, it's okay. Screw you, Iron Man and Marvel.
I needed this film more than you needed me. Like,
also,
I'm a Nolan boy now.
Yeah.
Also, just like to
don't
put in,
good in black and white.
What? It wasn't the bitch. Marvel films that meant nothing. It was that Doolittle film that he did.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit film that he did. Like, not...
That's just unlocked.
Isn't that his wife's movie as well?
And his Welsh accent.
Mm. But...
It's about as good as his Sherlock Holmes accent.
Well,
yeah, that wasn't good either. Get in the bin, Robert Downey Jr. After... Do you know what? They were saying bring him back for, like, in, like, a Secret Wars or something like that. Don't. Bring Tom Cruise.
It do
the
bring
weird.
Bring him back to just kill him
bring
again.
Bring Tom Cruise. Can we start on Tom Cruise, please?
Bring in Tom Cruise for Iron Man.
I can talk about Tom Cruise for an entire episode. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's screw the Oscars. It's Tom Cruise.
Oh, God.
Where's his Oscar?
Oh, God. In the Scientology building somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like that's. No, actually, let's not get into that. Let's move on.
They rejuvenated him on stem cells.
I've cut out entire chunks of episodes that we have because we went on to Tom Cruise and Scientology.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on.
Far, so.
Yeah, we've definitely touched on him as well. T.
Betrayed.
Ryan Gosling was robbed of that. Never mind. I'm just Ken. You know, he was better than Robert
Way
Downey
better
Jr.
than Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was just looking pensive in black and white.
Wearing
and
a scarf.
Huh.
So, okay, let's... I mean... I've not seen Oppenheimer. Let's talk about it though. Obviously, didn't it have like 10 nominations or something? Do we feel like that's valid? How do we feel?
10 too
about
many,
that?
That's for sure. 10 too
it.
Many.
Overrated.
Well, it's like I said to you last yesterday, and it's the kind of film that's going to get nominations because of it's a historical epic film about a really important person in history. Does it deserve 10 nominations? Probably not. You know, it's not, we said it before, it's not a bad film. It's just not a great film, and it's not worth, in our opinion.
I disagree.
Ian very much disagrees. It's not worth the hype, I don't think.
No.
When you look at what Barbie did this last summer and whatever the things it's done, and all the other films in this category that I enjoyed much more than Oppenheimer, I was not surprised, but I was still upset.
Well, Oppenheimer was very much the let's paint the Oscars by numbers sort of nomination, isn't it? It can cater to all the categories, and it's inoffensive enough to not rock the boat or be too controversial. You know, it hits enough of the political line that it answers what everybody knows: war and bombs are bad. But it's painted under a nice Christopher Nolan veneer, where it's all very accessible, but it's all very haughty and la-di-da.
Yeah,
and it's got his prolific cuts and monologues that transfer location. You know, we're going to be in the office talking about the bomb, and then suddenly we're on a train continuing the same conversation. Let me pause this conversation 1 minute. Let's change location. And now we're in a scenic mountainside.
Having the exact same hissing conversation.
Matt Damon just standing there. He's like, Oppenheimer, are we done this conversation? One moment.
Let us get on our horses.
We're traveling.
And at no point give a woman any meaningful dialogue or part to play.
No, they're there just to be naked.
Yeah.
Or crying hysterically. Yeah. Like, that's all they're there for.
That was an interesting film decision for Florence Pugh, I think. I was a bit confused by that because I did hear that she was just sat there kind of...
It's horrific.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's really bad.
Not that
great.
Such a
great version of her talent.
Yeah, because she
wins
so
your best director.
I mean, having...
She's in Dune now.
She's in Dune. She's doing better now. She's doing better now. Having just watched a few more films today, my dislike and like real hatred for Christopher Nolan is like being cemented more.
Oh wait, Ian, do you not like Christopher Nolan?
I really don't. I really, really shock and horror.
That is brand new information.
I know. Who would have thought that we had a whole episode?
Love the best category.
At least he's consistent.
Yeah. Two episodes we have on me disliking Christopher Nolan. There's one on UK film, and there's one on ours. Well, there's two episodes, and in that first one, I was far more like restrained because I didn't know anybody. Right.
Yeah,
I was very like, oh, well, he's had some good stuff. He hasn't had good stuff. He hasn't had good stuff.
Right. The safety net is gone and Ian is unchained.
You're on our podcast now. Let us out.
This is the third on Christopher Nolan. But no, for all the reasons that Toby's just highlighted and more, like, he's just the most like bog standard cardboard cutout film. Like, this is how to make a film, and he doesn't even do that well. Like, it's just constant editing and cutting all the time, and you can never be in a scene, you can never just enjoy it. And like, Oppenheimer for me was just such an obnoxious, like, I deserve an Oscar film. Like, that's what it came across as, because thought he had it with Dunkirk. He thought he did it with Dunkirk, but that was right, and then he tried to do it with this. Okay,
Everyone
was like, oh, we have to do it. We have to give it to him now. We have to give it to him now because it's gone on long enough. Yeah. But this film...
The Oscars are like, let's do it like Leo.
Just put him on the business.
He's done enough movies. Yeah. Let's give him to it now.
But it was like, as Chris was saying yesterday, he doesn't think he'll win another one now. That's it. He's got it.
Yeah.
You know, they've given it to him. Shut him up. Go over there and make your crappy films.
Until he makes the Einstein movie.
Yeah, and get Michael Caine in as Einstein. That's the that's comparing, say, Poor Things. Oh no, comparing Poor Things to like Oppenheimer, which I will say, like, my Letterboxd reviews tell all. I gave both of them the same rating. Okay, after I'd seen them, the difference, I would say, like, one of the things that really, really annoyed me in Oppenheimer that we're referencing with Florence Pugh is like her being nude in this film served no purpose.
Yeah.
No purpose at all. Whereas in Poor Things, which I think, respectively, I respect that it is a good film. It just didn't click for me like The Favourite did. Like, okay. I really, really... We'll get back to that.
We'll get into it. Yeah, yeah.
I really...
Let's put a pin in that.
We'll put a pin in that. I really...
the tea, sir.
I pour it on. Pour
that's,
it on.
A whole, that's a whole pot of tea.
Oh, it's too much tea. Oh, too... like, the difference is, like, Poor Things, there is a reason for what it's trying to tell you. There's a story there. The nudity, the sex scenes, there's reasons for
there's
it.
A
same
journey.
With The Favourite.
Yeah.
There's a journey. In Oppenheimer, it serves no purpose other than Christopher Nolan was like,
yeah.
Genuinely, it's just, they just have exposition the whole scene and she's just completely topless for no reason. And it's just like, this is gratuitous. And it's just ridiculous.
Very
and similar. I hated it. I hate the film and I stand by it. It's gone down in my rating because I despised it. So there you go.
Gonna have to
I stand by what I said.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I've not seen it. And one of the reasons I've not seen it is because I get really angry when films are unnecessarily long. And I feel like that has been an Oscar thing this year. Oppenheimer, why is it 3 hours long? I cannot sit in a cinema for that long. We talked
so
about it in when we reviewed Tar last year. Tar was 2.5 hours long. 2.5 hours is my limit. But I had to step outside halfway through and I missed a really important scene and like got really confused.
They should bring back intermissions. You know, Doctor
I loved
yes,
intermissions.
See, yeah.
This is
I
the
loved
thing.
Loved intermissions.
If it had an intermission, I would have gone to see it, hands down. But I couldn't.
I love that's been the strongest reaction to this. Well, all of you going, yeah, yeah.
No, intermission.
Every time I go to the cinema, I say, where are the intermissions?
Let people pee, goddammit. Like, I'm raging.
Pee before and pee after. No, I don't like
do.
This. If it's a good if it's a good film, like if I was watching, when I watched Dune 2, I would have been absolutely gutted if they'd put an intermission in that because just the journey of that, I thought this is a well-deserved runtime and I was having such a great time. If someone said curtains pee break now go boys girls
but it's the whole thing of like films being like films used to be made like designed for an intermission, right? Like The Sound of Music, that is like
Ace Odyssey.
There's like a little gap, the film comes to a natural break time. You know?
Dr. Zhivago has one of the best intermissions because it literally has, even on the DVD now, it still has the giant board which says, intermission!
Nice.
This
exactly.
is the point where you pause.
I got that DVD for Christmas.
Oh, good film. I love Dr. Zhivago.
Films were like, and they're really long now, but they used to be really long too. And then I think there was a moment in time where films were just shorter.
Noughties. Mm.
Yeah. And now they're long again, but we don't have the intermission anymore.
Yeah. And it's like,
they got away. They got rid of our beautiful intermission.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
I think
you heard
Jimmy
it
Kimmel
first.
Even mentioned it, didn't he, during the Oscars, that this year was like, well, an average runtime of like 30 minutes longer than 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Maybe if we start.
Jeez. Maybe like Killers of the Flower Moon as well, right?
Like
that was
hours,
really
long. 3.5 hours. 2 hours, 21.
That's Chris Easy. He can get away with anything.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
The Irishman was 4 hours long.
And it was 4 hours too long.
This is why I've not. This is why I haven't seen it.
Welcome. There was no point of that. I was like, oh, that's a teenage Robert De Niro. What's that, like a 20-year-old Al Pacino? Yeah, that's convincing. Hey! Every 20-year-old talks like this.
They should have an Oscars category where it's best film under 90 minutes or less, and then
maybe
do that. And then see if Nolan can make a decent film in 90 minutes.
Maybe if we bring back hashtag intermission. Maybe if we make a hashtag.
Hashtag.
Bring back intermission. Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can start it trending. And then like, you know, that's our change in the world. We bring back intermissions into cinema.
I think we're making Toby very upset.
Even if
I do that.
Even if they don't have an intermission, just walk out halfway through.
Have you guys ever walked out during a film screening?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Which one?
Without coming back?
Yeah, yeah. Without coming back. Because I've never done it.
No,
me either. Which ones?
Death Race.
No. Yeah, Death Race was pretty
with
bad.
Jason Statham. I went to go see that with some uni friends. I think it was in 2008, 2009. I was like, no, I'm done with this. This is awful.
That is.
When one of the characters said, let's see who on the sidewalk. And I was like, nah, I think I'm done here.
I don't think I want to see that. Yeah.
No, I think I'm done here.
I think I've never done that. I think it's the Scotsman in me who doesn't want to waste his money, having spent money to go to the cinema. It just wants to say, well, wow, I paid, I'm staying.
I'm with you.
I almost did it for Sausage Party, but oh, I yeah, stay until the
I
end.
Was close on Sausage. Yeah.
Oh, it was the what's that bloody one? Which why I went to see this, I don't know, but it was the one with
the hand
pixels.
Oh, pixels.
You went to go see that at the cinema?
Yeah, I had nothing else to do that weekend.
Fair play.
And I could have probably said anything else would have been a better idea.
It's worse than the Emoji Movie.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. It is worse than the Emoji
Movie. Just wash dishes for 4 hours and you'd have had a better time than watching that crap.
Just stare at a wall. Just stare at a wall.
Is that paint wall? Wet? No, it's bone dry. Riveting.
But, all right. Yeah. Oppenheimer winning, I think, is a travesty. If it's
okay. What was your best picture? Good. What was it? What would you wanted to win instead?
Well, I think there's a lot of films that was, and I think probably Chris and Toby will agree with me with this, right? There's a lot of films that aren't nominated in this category, which I always find really frustrating. So, like, they have best film, then best international film, and then best animated film.
Yeah.
And like some of those films in those categories were way better than a lot of the films in the best film category.
For sure.
So like
because it's kind of a disservice to the rest of it, isn't it? If you're your best animated movie or your best foreign film, it's like, well, they're still films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're
exactly.
still eligible for the same award.
So for me, my number one film of last year was Across the Spider-Verse. I still stand by that.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
Yarr!
So valid. Mm-hmm.
I think I completely respect if anybody else has other choices other than Oppenheimer, because then you're wrong. But like the fact that like, say, Killers of the Flower Moon, for example, which I watched over the Christmas period, that is so boring. Like, it's so boring. And it's way better than Oppenheimer because the performances are really good. And it's the story it's telling is really good. But God, is it unnecessarily long. And they could have cut that down. Whereas Across the Spider-Verse is such a well put together film. Yeah. And I respect The Boy and the Heron. I haven't seen it yet, unfortunately.
It's good.
I respect that probably. Yeah.
I've heard like, really good things. Yeah.
It's as good as you expect it to be.
Yeah.
But why are those two not nominated in Best Film?
That's the thing. Why can't anime, for example, be in it? Or, you know.
And why was Maestro even in the running?
Maestro is an
good
Oscar
lord.
One. Oh my God. I can't watch it.
That was a film I turned off. And if I'd been seeing that in the cinema, I would have walked out.
Which one?
Maestro.
Oh yeah. No, that's the only one from the entire list that I did not want to see.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I have zero interest in it.
I felt the same way actually, Joyce. Because I like Carey Mulligan, but I was just like, boring?
No, it was just made for the Oscars.
Yeah.
The trailer just looked like, you know, pretentious white people sat in a field being like, oh
yeah, pretty much
tell me something fantastic. Oh well, isn't music fantastical?
And I was the like, glory oh, days the glory days.
Well, I'll talk like the old timey times now. Oh yes.
It was better back then.
I like being a maestro twiddling a stick in the fields.
I don't know.
Yeah, choose your words.
No, I think I selected them quite correctly. Twiddly widdly.
Well, I say I never hide.
I got the papers.
What is everyone else's best picture?
So mine, based on what I've seen, is Past Lives. I loved Past Lives. I thought it was beautiful, so well crafted, so clever, really well acted. I just loved it. I cried. I don't really cry at films. So I felt like that was a good marker for me.
I don't really cry ever.
I mean, yeah. But
for me, I think my Oscar Best Picture win would be Poor Things, but my favorite of the list is The Zone of Interest.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's very interesting there.
I understand that it didn't win Best Picture, and I wouldn't expect it to. So that's why I'm saying Poor Things for Best Picture.
Okay.
I was interested in that zone, but I haven't seen it yet.
You should. So good.
My interest is peaked in that zone.
I don't know why. I don't know why me and Toby are doing this bit as well.
I'm just matching your energy, Ian.
It's a very serious film.
I know.
Not the fact. But it was very interesting. Films,
I think Spider-Man, for me, was definitely the best movie of the year.
Nice.
But if it wasn't Spider-Man, which is
just Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's just Spider-Man the whole year. I loved Godzilla Minus One. I know we've talked about it before on our podcast about how it's very much a reimagining of the original Toho movie. But I think they brought it to a modern audience in such a way that the Universal Monsterverse that they're currently doing at the moment just doesn't quite capture. It was just a breathtaking movie, and it just goes to show how, and it really should be up for the VFX, because it just goes to show that you don't need to be spending $250 million on a great looking movie. You can make it for not even a fifth of the budget of some of these, and you can still get a fantastic performance.
I like that.
Just the VFX, but also just from the actors within the genre, and the score was fantastic. It was just a great movie for me. And Poor Things, I've only recently seen it in the last couple of weeks since it's come online, but it was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it, and it was such a surreal, vivid picture. And it really, I think for me, it just stood out amongst so many other films of that year, just from its creativity and artistry, because it was like a living piece of theater and art. It was just, I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because I waited like you to watch it streaming, and I'm kind of glad I did, because I don't know if that's one, because I saw The Favourite in the cinema and I was like, but that is because I was in
for
a cinema.
For listeners, what Amber just did was wide-eyed, just because it was just silent. So I'll be like, she did what?
What did she do? Definitely not a movie to watch as a crowd. You just like,
no. Well, this is the thing. With The Favourite, I saw it in the cinema, and for some bizarre reason, my cinema was filled with like 60-year-old women.
Were we in the same cinema? Was this in where did me and Rory go and see it? It was in like North London sort of area.
Oh no, this was back in my hometown. So
it was just like loads of old people in my viewing. I think they got the wrong idea of what this film was.
Period drama, obviously.
I think that's good, because I thought, oh, maybe it's the time of day that we went, because we went kind of early evening. I thought maybe it's cheaper for like concessions.
The early birds performance.
Yeah, because sometimes they do, like at the cinema, they do like on certain days and certain times, they do like cheaper tickets for over 60s, which is really great. But like, so I just thought it was that. But maybe you're right. Maybe it was because people thought it was a period drama.
I think so, because like I genuinely was sat in this cinema and I looked around and I was like,
we love Olivia Colman and that Emma Stone. Oh, what a lovely young
also
lady.
Also classy. Oh, what is she
doing? Oh, what is she doing? What's she still doing?
The best part of me being there was that...
Is this awoken something?
This was the thing, because there's so much gay humor in it, and like the woman sat next to me was having to explain like loads of stuff to her husband. He was like, what did she say? What does that mean? And she was having to like explain it, and I was just sat there like cries in lesbian, like help, help.
I can think of so many scenes that she would have.
Because it's so fruity, and it's just like she was finding it funny, like fair play to her, but he wasn't getting it. She was having to explain everything, and then the women sat next to me were like stony face, like
I never
yeah, like classic like British prudishness, like just
that was me. That was me in Poor Things, because I watched it in the wrong setting. It was in the cinema, but it was packed.
Yeah.
And hi, Kim, if you're listening to this, I went with my manager. Kim!
Oh, which is,
yeah, maybe not the vibe.
We get along so well and we go to the cinema together. It's, oh, but nice. I, and she's never seen a Lanthimos film, and he's one of my favorite directors.
What you're going to say, and we never went back.
And we, never, yeah. Since then, we haven't been to the cinema together. That's a fact. she had never seen a Yorgos Lanthimos film, and I was perfect. There's one out right now. Let's go watch it together. I had no clue what it was about. I didn't look anything up about it.
No, I went in quite blind as well, to be fair. I knew it was going to be kind of like this Frankenstein thing, but then it was just like, it was just so good. And I love, obviously I love Yorgos as well, the way he does like the fisheye lenses, mm-hmm. and kind yeah. of it feels like
Yorgos.
She's Yorgos, it feels like
this
he's...
is what I need as a cinematographer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oscar,
I did enjoy Poor Things. I'm a big fan of Emma Stone.
Might just be
it's
me.
Just you.
It's the odd one out.
It's what because I remember watching The Lobster years ago, and this is nuts, but I'm loving it. Yeah. And then you know, I wasn't so much a fan of Killing of a Sacred Deer, but I did. The Favourite was I watched it at home because I'm not insane.
You didn't wait, Chris. You didn't go with your manager. I don't. I felt like that's a normal.
No, I was going to go. I was going to go with my mum, but then I thought maybe I'd rather stick pull my eyes out.
Did watch it with my mum. I'm so happy for your mum.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I'm so happy.
No, I watched it.
Chris. I don't want to see you for a while.
I would rather we didn't talk.
This is why we now live in separate countries. but yeah, I think obviously massive fan of Emma Stone, and Yorgos is obviously such a talented filmmaker. You know, you're always going to get something completely different. When I don't want to go back to Oppenheimer because I don't want to set Ian off again, but you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get when you get a Nolan film. It's going to be pretty cut and dry, paint by numbers. With
boring.
With Yorgos, you're going to get something that you haven't seen before in a way.
Exactly.
And just like when she goes on the ship and you end up in all this crazy, like quasi-futuristic type of world, dream-like landscapes going on. It's just like, it's such a crazy imaginative film, and obviously all the animals running around and the whole idea itself. Yeah. And I think Emma Stone, there's a lot of talk about it. I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon purely because I can't be bothered. But there's a lot of talk about Lily Gladstone deserving that Oscar. But I think that Emma Stone is incredible in that film. So I'm not going to...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Whether or not people thought that she deserved the Oscar. Because I thought she conveyed the character so well. So personally, for me, that was...
And she commits.
That was a good decision.
She so commits to that thing.
This is the thing. And you can see that
she was Bella Baxter. Mm-hmm.
With such a role that could have been pantomime as well. Like, she could have really lost that in going too far and just taking it to an overly dramatic mode where people just didn't take it seriously.
Yeah. I love how
she made it completely authentic.
I love how crazy over the top Mark Ruffalo is in that film as well. He's having the best time in that role. And I think he's compared to Robert Downey Jr. again.
I think between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone, it's very, very fine margins, and they do two very different things. Like,
you
they
can't
are
really
very
compare
different.
Them, can you?
But I think Toby has kind of hit the nail on the head on why, even though Poor Things didn't click for me personally, which we can pull that pin out soon. We can pull it out.
Why do you hate Lily?
God, women.
No, the,
not again.
Not again. Not again.
It's Ben Shapiro. He's back.
It's Ben Shapiro. Get out of here, Ben. God damn it, Ben. Getting in our podcast every time. Even when we're not on the Phantom Zone, Ben Shapiro manages to make his way on here. God damn
it. No.
The little weasel.
On a gay podcast? Yeah. How dare you?
Ben Shapiro. What a weasel of a man. Anyway. Emma Stone's performance, I think Toby's hit the nail on the head that, like, because it could have gone so wrong, like it could have gone really wrong if you picked another actress, you probably could have got a really different performance and it could have gone really bad. So I think for that reason, that's probably why I'm fine with her having got the Oscar as well. I think Lily Gladstone is really good, but unfortunately she's in a film that nobody's going to watch. That's the problem.
this is the thing, and with Emma Stone, you can see that, like, she obviously really trusts Yorgos Lanthimos. They've worked together before, and she just, as you said, she just completely committed. No one else could have probably done that as well. Mm-hmm. She conveys so well this obviously unconventional journey of a woman becoming empowered. I know there's some debate over whether or not it's actually a feminist film, but that is quite a nice thing to see, a character completely unlocking that for herself. It's quite nice. It's good. It's nice to see feminine agency. Well,
Amber, we need to do an episode on Poor Things.
Okay.
let's bring on Ben Shapiro and see what he thinks about that. Ben, come on it. No.
Ben Shapiro's welcome here. This is
get
a
out
safe
here, Ben.
Space.
I will say about Emma Stone is that with the La La Land Oscar win, I was always confused about that. And I think she did well in La La Land. That's not the issue. But I think this one is so deserved. And I think she knows that as well, because just her reaction to winning that Oscar was amazing. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite reactions of the entire night. It was so good.
Yeah.
And
we're all agreed on Emma Stone, which is nice.
I love Emma Stone.
I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon. I haven't seen it. I do love Lily Gladstone.
That's the problem.
Things.
You're never going to see it. You're never going to see it. That's the problem.
No, I want to see it.
Has anyone here actually seen it? Yeah, okay.
Just Ian.
Just
Ian.
You and I. Well, my hands are secured by the camera, by the microphone, but never mind. I think with Lily Gladstone, I think the problem with her is she conveys a hell of a lot, but she doesn't have actually much to say.
Yeah. Her role is quite restricted, isn't it?
Yeah. And okay. I mean, completely by design, and she manages to emote so much with so little to actually do. There's a huge amount of talent there, and she does demand a lot of the presence within the scenes that she's in. And she has like a tour de force of stars to work against, you know, Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jesse Plemons, so to speak. But she does manage to execute a hell of a lot with very little. I think the problem is that, as we've just explained, Emma Stone has had so much to work with within Poor Things. And if anything, it was such a brave film to do, because she literally just put it all out there. And I don't mean just like the nudity and things, but I mean like she just laid everything bare, all the emotions, everything that she put into it, heart and soul. You kind of couldn't give it to anybody else really within the category.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And having seen Killers of Flower Moon as well, I think you are 100% right. That film focuses very much on Leonardo DiCaprio's character, and Lily Gladstone, unfortunately, I think kind of goes to the background. Yeah. And she does she gives the best performance for a character who has been pushed into the background, which kind of, I mean, that is kind of what the film is about, but it's kind of sad that, like, maybe she wasn't able to shine as much as she could with what she was given.
Yeah.
For God's sake, Martin Scorsese, what are you doing? What are you doing? One of the best directors ever. What are you doing? What are
Write you better doing women.
Is that to Christopher Nolan or Martin Scorsese?
All both of them.
Everyone except Yorgos.
I think the thing with like nominations this year, we can pin the pin on Poor Things, though, if you want to hear why I didn't like women.
No, go
I
on. Let us know.
It's actually really simple. I was saying this to Simone earlier, because she, to speak on behalf of Simone, because she can't be here. She loved Poor Things.
Classic
she
thought it was
classic men speaking for women. She loved Poor Things. She really loved it. And because of that, I was expecting a lot going into it because she said how good it was. Mm-hmm. I really loved The Favourite. And it's a film that I kind of went away from when it finished being like, objectively, this is a really great film. All the performances are really good.
Yep.
Everybody puts everything in and it's clearly well written. But for just some reason, it just did not click with me. I don't know what it was. It was maybe... It just didn't. But I respect that it is objectively a really good film. So it's not like Oppenheimer.
Right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So for me, it took, I'm going to say like a week before it clicked. Like I had to think about it so much.
Yeah,
and I think this was such a different... Oh, but wait, it was such a different project for Yorgos. I feel like it's unlike any of his other films.
What was the bubbles about? What was the bubbles? Why did he keep
making
bubbles?
He explained it. It's because
he did explain it.
Is it meant to be funny, though? What's the point?
And that was how he digested.
What? Okay.
It was weird. There was,
it's just absurd.
He's got a goal with it.
There was geese dog. There were little pug dogs on...
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I did.
It was like a wacky warehouse.
It didn't click. It just didn't click. I just felt like you guys are going to get... I know, Joyce, you're going to hate me for this. You're actually going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say it and then run away cowardly. The cinematography did nothing for me. Oh, like, wow. Nothing at all. And, like, I felt like...
You can't even trust your opinion on Nolan anymore now.
I think, well, how dare you? But the thing with,
your credibility is gone.
I mean... I'm hurt by that. That's actually really cut me deep.
I'm sorry. It's a bit harsh. I take it back.
Gosh, I got nothing left now. Credibility's gone. I've got nothing left.
Right, it's like Ian Beale.
Yes.
Ian Beale. I've got nothing left.
I've got nothing left.
I'm going to get you an Ian Beale calendar for Christmas.
I felt like, you know, in The Favourite, the cinematography, like, did something to tell the story, whereas I felt in this that it just became distracting and I didn't feel like it gave me anything. Like it just became like more and more quirky for the sake of it rather than being a
Who's
part of the storytelling.
Who's gonna challenge him?
Counterpoints.
say it
Amber, say how terrible I am.
He's the worst.
Why are you still Diana Agron's wife on?
I forgot to change my name when I logged in.
I did wonder about this.
It was about the Shiva Baby episode that we did.
Right, okay. I was like, what the hell is that?
Just ignore it.
Sometimes we record virtually and Joyce likes to add funny names like Ken's
horse. We do that too.
Yeah, it's good.
But I didn't get this one.
Sorry. What was my counterpoint? Ah, yes.
You're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I guess it's objectively great. I just didn't click with it. That's my point.
Did anyone get like mad Terry Gilliam vibes from this one? I felt like Poor Things had huge Terry Gilliam vibes.
Yeah, and anyway, that kind of Brazil kind of esque kind of deal. Monty Python.
That's true. But just far more cohesive.
Yeah, less I'm clearly on drugs and more I've got an actual idea what I'm doing. Yeah.
Clearly better.
Yeah.
I want to know what Amber's being told not to say.
I don't know what I'm being told not to say.
No, I thought you were going to agree with him, so I just quickly said...
Oh, no.
Agree.
I don't agree with you. I think that's the fair. First half of the film...
No one ever does.
On Barbie, maybe, but not... Yeah, I felt like the first half of the film was very like surveillance, and then that kind of like with the fisheye and the like tracking shots, and that kind of changes halfway through when she gets a bit more agency. And I kind of liked that.
But
that's interesting because
it will click after a week.
That's what I'm saying. Give it a minute.
I think saying it's observant is interesting because that's obviously the first part of the film is observing her nature, and that's the whole point.
Exactly.
So it gives that kind of vibe of we're monitoring who she is and what she's about. And then it transcends into something else.
Simone took it as that the fisheye was like her naivety and that she was seeing the world in a very like fisheye, small lens, everything. Yeah. And she was saying that when the fisheye is on is when she's actually starting to go out and it like when she's eating those tarts that she was told not to. It has a fisheye because she's acting in a small-minded way.
I like
and then as
that.
The film progresses, the lens disappears because she starts to be more like growth in philosophy and ideas. Mm. Look, I think objectively it's a good film.
That's really
I just didn't
yeah.
click. Like, that's
she does
me.
See the world in a very objective way because she's obviously got so much limited understanding of it. So like when they land in Paris and Mark Ruffalo's crying because he's got no money, she's like, well, I need sex and money. These guys want sex and have money, so therefore I'll just put these two together.
Yeah.
She looks at things in a very objective and goes, so well, this is how it works. Yeah. And then obviously that grows as she grows. But yeah, I like Simone's theory.
Why don't we re-record this in a week and see how
I was going to say, I might interview you next week.
Feel.
I'm going to...
We'll invite you for the Poor Things episode.
Yeah.
I'll jump on for Poor Things and be
I'll
like...
I'll get you to record a little thing and slot it in there.
I love it.
Comes around.
Yeah.
It's got to
be done.
It didn't click. It didn't click. No, I'm joking. Yeah. No, it is good. It is good. I was... The other film that was nominated that I had finished today, which I think is really, really good and like... kind of I think people are talking about it, but it definitely needs more acknowledgement, is The Holdovers.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh,
so good.
Nice. God, guys, I loved it. Thank me later, go watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's definitely on the top of my list. I want to watch because I love
the first thing I did when I finished it is I texted everyone I knew and said, you need to watch The Holdovers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
I can attest to that. That did happen.
It's so I actually got like quite emotional in it as well. Like, I won't spoil too much for Toby and Chris if you guys haven't seen it, but there's a particular bit where this mother is like putting out like baby clothes, and that scene just like really made me emotional. Like, there's context to it which you learn very early on, so it's not too much of a spoiler, but early on we know that she's lost her son, so she doesn't have him anymore. But that scene, you learn that like the first scene of the film, and
spoilers.
I mean, it's in the blurb of the film. Like,
I haven't read the blurb, Ian.
God damn it, well, Ian.
Yeah. Whose fault's that, Toby? Go read the blurb.
Toby and I can't read them.
Chris, we were never supposed to admit that.
No, it's all come tumbling down. It's a very emotional scene that... It like, now doesn't feel as much because we've learned you two can't read. But... But it is a very good film. It's a very, very good film.
It is. And Devine Joy Randolph actually won Actress in Supporting Role.
I'm really
glad. She was amazing.
And her speech was great. Right. The whole circle as well.
Yeah.
She seems genuinely pleased to win and like grateful and, you know, not in a typical...
Not like bloody Robert Downey Jr., you bloody...
Does that all the time. Yeah. But yeah, she I want to watch that as well, for sure. It's top of my list.
It's very good. Very good.
Another one that's top of my list is, I don't know if anyone's seen American Fiction, but
yeah,
that's next on my list to watch.
I really enjoyed American Fiction.
Nice.
Sim said it was good too.
Yeah, it's one
on her behalf. It's
just a solid film with great performances and, you know, great story, like a funny story as well, but it's got a lot of heart and, you know, soul behind it as well that kind of gives it like a really nice balance. It's just what it's one of those things where it's never going to win Best Picture, but it deserves people to see it and enjoy it. And Jeffrey Wright, who's always been great, is finally deserved his nomination, was never going to win, but is amazing in it. And so Sterling K. Brown as well is great as the supporting actor. Also better than Robert Downey Jr. But, you know. I enjoyed that.
But no, he needed this film, Chris. He needed this. On. He needed to be in something that meant something.
You guys are sleeping on his speech. You know, I don't know much about the guy, and I'm not going to say anything. But the way he thanked his wife for being in his life was wonderful.
Yeah,
okay?
But everybody thanks their wives when they're on stage.
Nobody loved him back to life.
Nobody comes on stage and goes, I just want to thank my director. I want to thank my producer. I'm not going to thank my wife, though. Like, I don't know, but
I always just want to see some real smug just come and be like, I won this because I am just the best. Nobody did anything. It was all me. I'm the best.
I mean,
I've got my trophy.
Matthew McConaughey came close.
Huh?
McConaughey came close in his speech.
He
wanted to thank his
I feel like I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis also sometimes has got very close, because he's won the most Oscars. He sometimes is like, yeah, bloody did it again, didn't I? Did it again. It's like,
I mean, it is Daniel Day-Lewis though, isn't it?
He does
it
deserve
is.
It.
That's why. Yeah, it's I was about pass. To say.
He's paid. Like, I'm gonna go cobble some shoes after this.
Yeah.
Let me go live in a wooden shack.
Yeah. I'm rustic. I'm an auteur.
I'm an auteur. Oh, that got me.
But yeah, no, I'm not going to give him props for his speech. I'm sorry, Joyce. No, I'm not having that.
He's just biased, and that's totally fine. We are biased. I don't know anything about the guy.
We are biased, the piece of shit.
I haven't seen Iron Man.
we're just better nerds. That's our problem.
That is our whole vibe. That's our corner of the internet.
Demographic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bitter nerds. A film that wasn't nominated, but really should have been nominated. I haven't seen it. So I can't say it should have, but
I'm ready.
Everybody who I've spoken to has said it should have been nominated, which is All of Us Strangers.
Yes, yes, yes. Agree.
Ember, stop. Don't open that wound.
You're going to trigger Joyce again. We reviewed this in February.
Why do you think I mentioned it?
That was
weird. I listened to that as well, that episode.
Nice. Yeah, that definitely should have been nominated for something, for sure. Beautiful.
It should
film.
Have been best film, probably. Like, I think it should have
maybe
been.
Maybe screenplay.
I think screenplay, yeah. Yeah.
Don't you? It's not to side, because I don't want to open that wound too much, but don't you think it's really funny that that Barbie was nominated for best adaptation of a toy?
Oh, I was very confused. Very yeah, confused
that,
about that.
I had to Google that. I was like, the math.
They have very loose definitions of adapted or original.
Mattel just like...
They wrote the story. They wrote a book, actually. We just haven't read it. It's not published.
It's an unpublished book.
It's
Barbie.
In the Amazon like archive somewhere.
Sure. Right.
I was like, when I saw that, I was like, what?
That was confusing.
Like, yeah.
Do you know what was more confusing? Where was Margot Robbie? What happened?
She was sitting in front of Ryan Gosling before.
What happened? Where was her nomination? I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry.
Here's a question.
And Greg Gerwig. Just
saying. Here's a question for both of those people, right? Because they both technically have been nominated, but not in the categories you want them to be nominated.
Yeah,
so they have been nominated, but not where we want them to be. I think, because then when I look at the directors, before we go to Margot Robbie, who do we get rid of in the directors? Oh well, Christopher Nolan. But who would you?
I'm gonna Christopher have to bring Nolan. Up the list.
Well, you've got Chris Nolan, Justin Triet, Scorsese, Yorgos, and Jonathan Glazer for Sort of Interest.
So
well,
I would
haven't
get
seen
rid of
Chris Thurman.
I would get rid of Christopher Nolan. I would get rid of him. But my point is going to be
where do you come in?
I would just expand how many you could have. Like they did that for the best films, and then they were like, right, so we're going to do 10 films now, but we're only going to keep it at 5 directors, and it's like. Why do that? All you're doing is creating controversy, which is what this is. Like, you've created controversy because probably all of those directors, other than Christopher Nolan, should be nominated. And, like, if we look at the best actresses, Chris's reaction to my hatred of Christopher Nolan. If we look at best actresses, I think all of them were, like, justified as well. Like, maybe not Emma Stone, but not Emma Stone. What's her face? She's in.
What?
Sherry Mulligan?
No, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer.
She's not. She wasn't nominated.
Oh, is she not? She's best supporting. She was in best supporting. Oh, what?
I haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall, so I feel like I can't, on both categories, comment on those.
Yeah.
I do really want to watch it, though.
Yeah. But I feel like they should just, to solve this issue, have more. Nominees.
I feel like with what Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie achieved with Barbie, the biggest grossing female directed film of all time, made $1 billion. I would have gone, you know what, we're gonna have 6 nominees. She might not win, but we're gonna at least give her the nod.
They make the rules.
Exactly. Like, it's your show. It's like, oh, we just can't do it.
If you can have John Cena run out,
we've already written the cards. We can't possibly reprint. This is insane.
Not all. Think of the ink. Think of
where's our sustainability.
But I think just to jump, we're an eco-friendly.
Actually, that's a good point. That's a good point.
ESG.
ESG. Yeah.
It was the ESG manager being like, "Nope, no, we're not doing it."
But Greta Gerwig has done something incredible with Barbie and Margot Robbie making that film what it was and the thing it does. And the Nolan fans might come after me as well, but Oppenheimer would not have had as anywhere near as good a marketing plan as Margot Robbie came up with for Barbenheimer. They owe Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig so much thanks and money for that marketing campaign coming up with that, because that's the reason that people went to see Oppenheimer and Barbie because of that whole Barbenheimer movement.
Well, it was the zeitgeist of the year, wasn't
it? I don't think as many people would have seen Oppenheimer as they did if they hadn't had the whole Barbenheimer.
Way more people saw Barbie anyway. Yeah. So clearly they weren't doing both at the same time. So
yeah.
That's like one of the biggest film events that I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, especially in the summer when people aren't going to the cinema as much. Yeah. Like, it's so clever, as you say. So,
I mean, forget the Oscars, it'll be the thing that's remembered more.
Exactly.
Than
true.
I mean, one of the most talked about films last year was Saltburn, which, you know, isn't nominated, but people talk about and certain other films, you know, and Barbie will be that film that people will remember more than I think Oppenheimer at the end of the day. And deservedly so. Because
I guess the best ones rarely win, to be like the favorites rarely win.
Me and
Simone talked about this the other day, and I think we concluded that is usually the case. Yeah,
the only one that I would disagree is Moonlight.
Yeah, that's
picture.
The one we
that's
said.
The only Moonlight one that is...
I liked Everything Everywhere All at Once winning last and I also liked, I can't remember what year, Parasite won that year, which was
that was the best film.
Great.
My hypothesis is flawed.
But Parasite's year is 90.
No.
Parasite's the same film as 1917, right? Same year.
Could be.
I'm checking right now.
We're going to our research team to
1917
check.
Was.
See,
film.
I did love Parasite and Everything Coda Everywhere All at Once.
Coda won.
Has anyone actually seen Coda?
Nope.
No, I haven't.
No one
it is good though.
I've heard it's
no
good.
No one talks about it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody
that happens so much. Remember The Shape of Water.
Oh, don't
that
give me
one sense. Best picture.
Don't get me started.
I
have a very Crazy good friend movie. Of mine. I have a very good friend of mine, Andrew, who really hyped that film up for me. And he's a great guy. He's been on the podcast before. We really like Andrew, but
we still don't talk to this day.
I hate him.
He really likes fish.
He really hyped this film up.
He sleeps with the fishes.
I left. You know what I mean? I left just being like, what? The fuck was that? Like, what the fuck was that? And he was like, "No, it's
just
an Abe Sapien
movie."
Yeah, it's just Abe Sapien, but not as good because Hellboy's not there. I want a Hellboy, but I just was like, it just didn't do anything for me. Like, what else came out that year? Shape of Water.
I don't. Was that 2017?
I think that
was that La La Land year.
No, that was the year of Moonlight.
It was Dunkirk came out that year, Ian.
Oh, Dunkirk. Oh, Ian, your favourite.
It wasn't 2017. I'm going to check it. 18.
You can get in the
bin. Oh, yeah, 2018. Yeah, Free Billboards.
Yeah, okay, so it's 18, and it was against Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, and The Post. Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, also such a good film.
Yeah.
Phantom Thread should have won that.
Ooh. Phantom Fred.
Don't you think Phantom Fred's weird at the end, though? Don't you think that's weird?
Oh,
at the end?
Oh no, the ending is the best.
Like, she's poisoning him to so that he shits himself, and then she's like, and then he's like, "But I still really love you, so I'm going to eat this thing or drink this thing that's making me shit myself, and then we're going to dance a bit." I was
that's
like,
"Excellent."
That's a f-ing weird ending, man. And you know, the thing is, you know,
and what's wrong with that, Ian?
You know that Daniel Day-Lewis was also shitting himself. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was in the method. Yeah. He was shitting himself. Like, and I don't think I'm there for that. I don't think I'm there.
He's committed.
committed to the bit.
And yeah, you know, maybe I didn't click with it because I have a healthy relationship. Maybe that's the issue.
But yeah, get
Simone's not poisoning me, that's for sure.
Get out
that you know of.
Get
You've been ill for a long time, Ian.
Oh no.
Oh my god, the app! I'm critically ill!
I'm killing myself right now!
No, Get Out should have won.
Get Out was incredible.
Three Billboards as well was a great film.
Yeah.
Great film.
Was really good. Francis McDormand, well deserved.
Phantom Thread is also better than what won. So I agree with you. Phantom Thread is also a choice that I would put ahead. It's like, I liked Phantom Thread. I just thought the end was really weird.
La La Land did win for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say. They love a scandal.
Iconic moment.
Yeah.
I will say, now looking back at the previous Oscars, that this year is really strong for Best Picture. I think aside from Maestro, which I haven't seen but don't want to see, and...
Oh, I say, I never...
That's about it. I think the lineup is really strong for Best Picture this year. I think it was a really good year for film.
Yeah.
Mainstream film.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
I'd say it's been pretty good. I would say it's been pretty good. I think...
I mean, look at the lineups. There's some...
It's unfortunate that Oppenheimer won. That's the thing. It's unfortunate that that's the one.
Yeah, but
that
we all knew that was going to happen. We all knew that.
No, Joyce, I won't have this.
Can I just say I love how much Joyce and Ian are disagreeing throughout this episode.
I'm not disagreeing. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I have no opinion about it. And actually, I was going to say, I'm not a big Nolan fan myself. I didn't like Interstellar, which was like the craziest thing ever when it happened.
I knew Tenet. There was a reason why I liked you, Joyce.
Come back to fight me. I prefer it.
It took you an hour and 10 minutes to get to that point.
Well, no. We were on Barbie together as well, so it's been about 2 hours.
That's true. Yeah. All right.
Great.
So we've had this conversation about Nolan in the summer. We did.
Yeah, we did.
I don't feel as strongly about it as you, but that's fine.
I think it's because people insist. It's the insisting.
But you insist as well.
I match their energy. I match it. I
you just subvert it.
You set the energy. Everyone has to match you.
Yeah.
The trailer for Oppenheimer, the comment section was just give him the Oscar now. The film's not out. It's not even out. It's not
Killian.
Even out. Yeah, just give them the Oscar.
It was the best prequel to Godzilla Minus One. That's all I'm just saying.
But Ian, he set off a bomb for real.
He set off an atomic blast. He killed so many people. It was...
Bravo.
Yeah, bravo. Bravo, I say. I feel like the Oscars though have like lost their relevance a bit is what I felt.
Totally.
Like the fact that I know I really, really am viscerally hating him, but like the fact that, as you rightly point out, Joyce, and as all of us have talked about in this film, there is a list of films on their own list, let alone the ones that weren't nominated, that were better than Oppenheimer. But the fact that, oh well, he was going to have to win is the argument for why it won is just utter horseshit. And like I just feel like it's just totally irrelevant now, and this is why I'm leaving. So see you later, everybody.
No, you're right. It takes away the credibility, doesn't it, a little bit?
It's like when Leonardo DiCaprio won for Revenant when he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know,
that's the thing as well, as I swear they never win for the right film.
Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side, and she even stood up and said, I'm not sure about this.
Well, don't we remember?
Should have been Speed.
Yeah.
Don't we all remember?
Risky Geniality 2.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Which is a great film, by the way. Don't get it.
Yes.
I love it.
We love Sandra Bullock on this podcast. Yeah.
The classic
Practical Magic is
so good.
Yeah, I love that film. That's memories right there.
Speed 2 was great. Speed on a boat.
Yeah,
Speed on a boat. Yeah,
minus Keanu Reeves.
Yes, even he put it.
Well, don't we all remember when Crash won as well?
Oh yeah.
Oh god, no, don't please. That is so traumatic for me.
It beat Brokeback Mountain, which is insane.
It did.
When you think about it.
It beat Brokeback Mountain, which is mental.
No,
that's rude.
It's rude.
You know what? Actually,
it's just plain rude.
Very rude.
No one understands why, because no one likes Crash. Now, then, no one likes Crash. What the hell happened? in that year.
I couldn't believe it was nominated, actually. I couldn't even believe that it was nominated. It's not a good film.
But then it spawned all these other films that were like Crash. They were like stories within a film that would all connect together. And like, but they're all crap.
Some are good. Some are good.
Some are.
Wasn't nearly enough Crashes.
Yeah.
This film's totally missold.
I thought this was the next Fast and Furious.
To be fair, it says Crash. There's one Crash. It's called Crash. There you go. What do you want?
Roll credits.
Yeah.
Nah, you got us there, Chris.
Does anyone have any final thoughts before wrapping up? Does anyone have anything else they want to say? Where are we at?
I have something to say.
Say it, girl.
I'm very happy about the Zone of Interest winning sound because it's so unlike anything the Oscars does. Like, usually it's the sound design they choose is very loud and, you know, the planes and the cars and the blah, blah, blah. But the Zone of Interest is so subtle. And I was talking to Amber before we started recording about a good word to pick, but it's so selective about how it uses its sound. Yeah. I think that was really good. I'm really happy for that. It also won Best International Feature, I think. So yeah, good. Nice. Well done, Zone of Interest.
It's interesting that it won that. Interesting film.
Sound? Or...
It's interesting. It's so interesting. They were doing that bit again.
He said it. I just looked at him.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm getting tired.
I love Joss just went along with it as well. It's like, which one did you think? Sorry, which one? You're like, oh, they're doing the bit. God damn it. They got me in the bit.
Oh, man.
Do you want more of this top level banter? You can join us at the
It's top tier highbrow. Come over anytime.
I don't think we're going to be invited back together.
You know,
I'm going to have a fat Roman Coke after this.
Final thoughts, guys?
Yeah.
From our end, from the Phantom Zone. My final thoughts, get more animated stuff nominated.
100%.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although the categories that they had the films in that category were great because Nimona was.
Yep, Nimona's great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Really good. Really based on a great comic as well.
I want to give a shout out to 20 Days in Maripol as well, which I watched the documentary.
Nice. Need to watch that.
It's very harrowing. Very well done. Very, like, one of the best. I mean, I actually started watching it during my lunch at work and then turned it off after 5 minutes thinking this is not the time or place to be doing this.
Yeah.
So I went home and watched it and on a Sunday night just before bed, which really put me in a real spiral.
Wow.
But it needs to be seen, I think.
Yeah.
Really. Sure. It's one of those that's incredible, but it's very harrowing and hard to watch, but definitely worth watching.
It's in all seriousness, like, you have to curate what you watch sometimes. And it is one of those films that I'm like, I know it's going
to
be good.
You need
it looks amazing.
In an okay place to be watching that kind of stuff. And even then, it's...
Which, unfortunately, I never am. So I'm
That's
never
why we like superheroes, damn it.
Yeah. I like colourful things that are bright and shiny.
My mental health is escapism.
Are you like a are you a magpie? Is that what you're telling us?
I like shiny things.
Magpie, ADHD.
That's my whole stick, man. Like, how long? It's taken you 2 years to realise this.
I knew from day one. I'm just saying it now.
Can you make that your Instagram bio?
Magpie of ADHD.
I am the magpie.
Yeah. My superpower is being distracted. Wait a minute. What's that over there?
Anyway. On that note, I'll wrap things up. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this episode of Gay Actually. We are a series as part of the UK for... Why can't I say film? Hello?
God, the outro and intro today. Film has tripped you up.
I'm struggling. We are a series as part of the UK Film Review podcast. We also have our own Spotify channel, Gay Actually, where we talk about film, TV, culture, all the queer things. So we're here also the third Thursday of every month. You can find us on Instagram at Gay Actually Podcast. Thank you so much to Phantom Zone for being here for this wild ride. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Chris, you say where you can find us.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Oh, don't mess it up.
I thought I'd get a night off.
Never.
You can find the Phantom Zone podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You can find us on Instagram at the Phantom Zone Podcast, and you can find us at Gmail at the Phantom Zone Podcast at gmail.com, where we talk about all kinds of nerdy things.
So professional. Hey. I need to take notes.
Bravo.
Usually you do really, really well, Amber.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's definitely our. It's our fault. We've been nothing but chaos.
No, it's us. Yeah. It's definitely us. Yeah, it's definitely us.
Too many men on the podcast. We're not used to men in our lives.
Well, this has been emotional. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for being here. Thank you, Joyce, as well, as always, for putting up with my co-hosting shenanigans.
Thank you, Amber.
Oh, take care, everyone.
Thank you, Toby.
You're welcome, Ian.
Nice to meet you.
It's been emotional. And thanks, Christopher Nolan. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, everyone else. And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.